Hi, this is Tom Cruise, and your mission, if you choose to accept it, is to listen to this really, really great Sanspance radio podcast. Wow.
Hey, Jack, this is the President Sleepy Joe Biden, and you're listening to my favorite podcast in the world. Hey, fam.
Jack. Hey, fam. Welcome to Hey, fam.
What's up?
Bringing it back, the classic intro. A lot of people have been writing in saying, bring it back.
Yeah.
Just for one.
Oh, these are like those McDonald's cups.
Yeah, interesting that you chose. I poured two glasses of water in my Kirby 30th anniversary glasses.
Yeah.
And there's classic Kirby and then, of course, the modern iteration that we're far more familiar with. And you went straight for the modern.
Well, it's like the one that was in front of me.
Yeah.
So I kind of thought it like, unless you thought I was in a spy movie where I switch out glasses because of paranoia of poisoning. No, of course I was grabbing this.
Someone go back and, like alter one of those movies so that they're drinking out of Kirby glasses and it's the Waddle Dee one that poisons the good guy.
Yeah, put it in Fast 10 just after Tej says Roman noodles at the Corona. They should have a scene where they just keep handing Corona, like just edit it. Just the same Corona back and forth with like really uncomfortable like rustling of shirts and sleeves sound effects.
Or maybe Han grab like actually gets poisoned from the Pete Davidson cupcake.
Yeah. He gets roofied by...
And just dies.
Man, you know what? I was like, I spent a lot of time, and I know you do as well, but I spent a lot of time thinking about the Fast and Furious franchise, in particular, the course correction that I think will probably have to occur at some point. Not now, but this series, I think, is like far too big to sustain its current form. Mm. The money
just
it cost.
Cast alone and
cast. I mean, you know, when Justin Lin left, he still got like he had a contract, which meant he got full pay still
for two movies.
Yeah, so that's like a bulk of money
because he was going to do Fast 10 and then Fast 10 2, whatever the fuck they call it.
So
their plan is to call it Furious 10.
I mean, that'd be sick.
It would also make no sense.
But also, it's so sick that they won't do it.
Yeah, yeah.
But you know, I did send you that most recent, and he's probably posted 10 since. But when this episode goes out in an hour, but that video of
Vin Diesel and Han.
And the actor who plays Han just like sitting. I don't know where they are. Is it the Dominican Republic?
They're somewhere in like an islands. Is it Cayman Islands?
Sorry, it's a Cayman Islands, and they're just sitting there, and it's kind of like. It looks like it could be a hostage
wrecked.
Video, but it also looks like he's emotionally wrecked. That he's, or he was asleep and Vin's like
pulled him out
curtains
of bed.
Open. Yeah. He's like rise and shine. This is, and they're just sitting there. And the first, it's maybe a 5 minute video. The first two
it's not even 2 minutes, but
it feels like five minutes. Yeah. Let's just going with my timing. pretend it's 5 minutes. The first 2 minutes, because I don't have enough time. I don't have the brain capacity to. I don't even know the word. Substitute the time or whatever.
Figure out time.
In that first 5 minutes, the first 2 minutes, absolute silence.
Yeah, yeah, just looking at the camera. And like Han does not want
to
be
He's
there.
He's just like, I hate you. And then Vin just goes on to say like, we're listening to all your feedback. But it's interesting. It's kind of like, he doesn't say like, we're loving all your messages. He's like, we're going to listen to your feedback before going forward with the sequel, which is such a weird video to put out. But the weirdest thing to me is, that this part one of a movie has not been shot in conjunction with part two. Little B is going to be like 23 when like the actor that plays Little B is going to be so old.
Yeah.
For the following scene of like, are they going to be like, oh, the dam had some like hormones in it and you've just grown 5 years.
Well, so yeah, we both listened to the Blank Check. Well, no, it's what's the podcast?
I don't know what the podcast is called.
It's a real odd name. It's like I don't know.
But I don't
Griffin
know if
Newman
they talk
from
about
Blank Check was
music.
On.
Sorry, but movies all the time. I think they just picked different.
They did a Fast 10 episode, and they bring up a great point that like every other movie that's done a cliffhanger, a la Fast 10, where it's
shot back
it's like,
to back.
That's the end of part
one.
And
Dead Reckoning
part two.
was one big production essentially. You know,
apparently it's far from finished though, the second one, so that might be in a similar boat.
Oh, and same with Across the Spider-Verse.
Maybe
they're not coming
going
out next
rogue.
Year.
Yeah, yeah.
I was reading an interview with Hailee Steinfeld, and they're like, the interviewer was like, "Oh, so you're ready to do like for the next one to come out next year?" And she's like, "Oh, I recorded my lines for Across the Spider-Verse Beyond. What was the sequel called? Beyond?
Across, and the next one called Beyond.
4.5 years ago, and I haven't even got a script for this one yet." So it's like, oh, this movie's not coming out next year.
Yeah, why is that date there?
Know.
That's bonkers.
Yeah. But yeah, there's not even a script for part two of Fast 10. But this is what I was thinking in a roundabout way. Course correction.
Mm.
Because I think it's going to come. I think I don't think a reboot anytime soon. I think, though, in 15 years, we will see a Fast and Furious reboot with Vin Diesel. Because Vin Diesel's almost 60, which is absurd.
Yeah.
But I think we're going to see a reboot in like 10 to... I mean, you know what? 10 years, I think. Because they'll want to keep it fresh in people's minds still. They don't want it to be too obscure. I honestly think, because we know we're going to be getting spin-offs, as we know, Hobbs is getting a spin-off film by himself. Hobbs Minor Shaw.
I just hope they don't do that. Like, but I feel like...
It's the opposite of the Sony Spider-Man movies. They just will do these. I guarantee you, and I think you and I should develop this with Justin Lin. Tokyo Drift 2, a straight up sequel, not just about Han, like an undercover.
Oh yeah, that would be great. A Han spin-off. Dude, I would actually
low budget, like Joker it, like 50 million, just like
the only low budget movie ever made.
Well, the only low budget movie that was part of a giant franchise,
of course. No, yeah.
And made heaps of money,
yep.
Because they didn't have to pay Vin Diesel $100 million to agree to do it. But how good of, and just call it Tokyo Drift 2. You haven't got Sean or Bow Wow. They're still in whatever, like Germany building rockets. It's just Han undercover, like doing a thing that he owes someone, and maybe bring Giselle or someone,
yeah.
Like someone from the Fast family with him, but just straight up, maybe like
just only in Tokyo the whole only time. In Tokyo. No more globe hopping. Keep the budget low.
He's back, and maybe it's or maybe it's the years that he spent living there during 9.
I kind of would just like to. Like,
I want him to leave. And just have his own. Because I feel like he's.
The first thing he says is fuck family.
I think, like, honestly, he's been done such a disservice after all the, like, justice for Han, everything.
Yeah, they
like,
brought him back to then have him do nothing in Fast 10.
Yeah, like, I like his. I still think his back coming back at 9 is great. It suits the stakes and, like, in universe explanation for things at that point. But at 10, he's on Tinder and eating muffins that. Lace him for a minute max,
and then he gets in a fist fight with what's his name?
Sure, and then just that's fine. But yeah,
and then he dies in a plane crash.
But you know what? Because Tokyo Drift has such a strong fan base.
Is he on the plane with everyone? Yeah, because it's Ramsey,
so.
Tej,
it's everyone except
obviously
for,
they don't die, but like,
no one's dead. And if they are, they'll be
moving forward. Everyone, we are going to constantly. Every week, we're going to spoil Fast 10.
Yeah,
until 11 comes out.
Until we're hired as consultants.
Yeah,
but don't you think that would be sick? And it makes sense because Tokyo Drift. The original has such a. I'm already calling it the original, despite the fact there's only one. It has such a huge following.
Yeah, like, absolutely.
You bring back Neptunes to do the soundtrack.
Yeah, absolutely. EP. Yeah.
Like because all that stuff that was in fashion then is in fashion again now.
Yeah.
And just shoot it on location in Tokyo again. Maybe go to Yokohama, fucking Initial D energy, Ridge Racer energy. You know what I mean?
Yep.
Just like and make it just like a car racing movie with him having to like maybe Donnie Brasco would go undercover and like infiltrate.
No, and reference the first Fast movie. With
reference the first one
shit.
With DK, yeah. Drift King. Man, have Drift King back in it again.
Who's that?
DK, he's like the villain, Drift King.
Oh, okay, right. He don't die at the end of that one?
No, he
okay,
just cool. He's just like, bring shame to his family.
Just bring maybe someone that's like, oh, I'm Drift King's son, because who remembers?
Well, Drift King's the same age as Han.
The actor, though.
Oh, he's like a...
But cast someone like, you know, people know.
Like, what, Astro Boy or something?
Oh, okay, I see what you mean. Was Drift King Japanese?
Yeah.
Yeah, right, okay. In Tokyo Drift, you mean, not the first Fast movie.
No, Drift King's a character in Tokyo Drift.
Yeah, I know who you're talking about.
DK.
Now. Yeah, cool.
Yeah, bring him back.
I remember. The Hulk car back.
Bring the Hulk car back. And he's updated it to like
Bow
a flash
Wow
car. Well, you know what? They couldn't do that now because I read this week that Marvel got they finally got the rights from Universal for Hulk.
So the Hulk so Universal, roller coaster is going to leave Universal soon?
It's going to be replacing Splash Mountain. They've removed all of the racist elements from Splash Mountain. They're putting them into the Hulk ride.
That'd be great.
Yeah.
It's just Hulk and... The Tar Baby. I'm trying to think of my most racist shit from
The Tar Baby. I remember The Tar Baby. I had a book on tape of The Tar Baby, the Brer Rabbit, like the Disneyfied one.
Yeah.
Which I'm sure I could fetch for a pretty penny on
Hulk
like,
of the South, the roller coaster experience.
Well, what is it? Old Man Logan. They're like racist Hulks, remember?
Yeah, of course. That's right. Yeah.
And then him, Hulk. Man, they should just straight up make that.
Make Old Man Logan.
J-Ran. Because Jeremy Renner, right? No, I mean, it's Hawkeye.
Oh, Hawkeye's in it.
Logan.
Yeah, yeah. The Marvel character, Jeremy Renner.
Jeremy Renner. I don't know.
Yeah, they made an Old Man Hawkeye spinoff of that as well.
Oh, sick. He's blind, isn't he?
Yeah, I'm sure it's boring as shit.
Yeah, it's like all the other, like, year ones they released or year twos after like one really good one. And they're like, oh, you know what? I actually think Green Arrow needs a year one. And you're like, probably doesn't. Like
that one isn't that bad despite being written by...
I just made that
up. Yeah, you guess who wrote it?
Kevin Smith?
I think it's Kevin Smith.
Oh, really?
Yeah, yeah.
They wouldn't give him a...
Oh, no, no. It's the guy who... It's the TV writer who did like Alias and stuff. Not...
Oh,
Judd
yeah.
Winnick? Is that guy?
Maybe. I don't know. But yeah, Tokyo Drift 2. How fucking sick is that? It hit me the other day.
Yeah, don't even need to call it Fast and Furious.
No, just Tokyo Drift 2.
Yeah.
That'd be so cool. Tokyo Drift Ni. Shin Tokyo Drift.
Oh, that's good.
That's sick. And you know what? Let's get Anno involved. Man, a Kojima fucking cameo.
Sure. You're just naming Japanese people you like.
No, I'm naming Japanese people I love. But yeah, I think that'd be sick.
We saw Shin Ultraman last week. Was it last week?
Yeah, it was like the day...
day I saw three movies.
That's right. We left my house and you were kind of having, I guess, like an out-of-body experience during like maybe two-thirds of the way through Shin Ultraman.
So
you started confusing.
I fell... three movies in one day is too many. Manhattan. Too many movies for me.
3 hours ago, I am watching... Yeah. I am watching Elemental.
Legitimately, I had a moment.
That's
where,
what I mean. You were like Dr. Manhattan. Because you turned to me and you're like, man, I'm confused on the movie I'm watching.
You did that thing where you half fall asleep. Like, I'm just going to rest my eyes for a moment. And then, like, plot points from Elemental and The Flash.
Where's the fire in Ultraman?
Like, all the board of figures in Ultraman.
You saw Flash that day as well.
Yeah, and so, like, they were talking about things that happened in Elemental. And, like, and I was just like, what am I doing? Like, and then woke up and you were there. And I'm being like, hey, man, have you got any more of those M&Ms? I need to stay awake.
You went Doc Manhattan. I think you were, like, transcending time. Yeah.
And then it's so annoying, like, of all the movies to fall asleep through, why did it have to be that one?
The Flash should have been it.
Absolutely.
I mean, man. Even Bruce Wayne falls asleep in the Flash scene in Batman vs. Superman.
Yeah, they had to CGI his eyes open.
I saw someone tweet the other day, they were just like, I fell asleep watching BVS and woke up just as that scene came on. And he's like, I had no fucking idea.
Of like the Flash going, it's Lois, it's Lois, like, is the key.
Yeah, and he's like, what am I watching?
Did they ever reference that ever again?
Nope, it was laying the groundwork for like 9 sequels that never happened.
Oh, that's so funny.
It was going to be like the big ending of... Well, you can read the script of Justice League 2...
I wonder if you they kept Zack Snyder on board. I'm not saying are we at the point where we're at DCU and those movies are good, but are they at least better?
I think they're better because they're tonally consistent.
Yeah.
Like, I don't like Zack Snyder's Justice League, but I can see why people love it because it's what they were promised.
Sure.
You know what I mean? But yeah, the whole thing with Justice League 2, the script is bonkers. There's like... The Riddler's dying and they go to like South America and he's living by himself.
Wait, what's this in?
So Justice League 2, the movie, you can read the script. Remember there was like an art exhibit?
When was the Riddler going to be introduced?
Well, this is it. Remember that there was an art exhibit like when Zack Snyder's Justice League came out and they had like concept art for like the sequel that never happened. Yeah. So there was a story outline. You can read it online. I'm probably butchering it, but the whole movie is set in that nightmare sequence.
Right.
It's all set with like Batman has guns and kills people. Superman's a villain. It's basically Injustice where Superman's been turned bad because Lois is killed.
Yeah, okay, sure.
And isn't that like a Mortal Kombat spin-off plot point?
That happens in Injustice. Yeah, that's how Superman is bad.
So I think that's like Zack Snyder's second reference point for Superman. The first is him getting the shit kicked out of him in The Dark Knight Returns and the opening animation Injustice when his son was playing it or something. So that was like the whole second movie and it was like Cyborg and Flash were together. That was all like Atomic Wasteland or whatever. But at one point they have to go somewhere and they like find the Riddler and he's like dead, living. It's so... It's like the whole Justice League 2 script is like a series of scenes of Jimmy Olsen being like shot in the head.
Yeah, great.
It's like that for the whole thing. It's like, oh, you know, who do you like? The Penguin? Yeah, he's a pedophile in this one and got cancer. And you're just like, what is this? But yeah.
When I kill you, and I will fucking kill you.
Remember that character gets
to tell another character that they'll fucking kill them.
Yeah, they just keep wanting it. Remember that was his final appearance for a while until he came back and like...
I mean, honestly, that's better than everything he did in The Flash, so...
Oh, yeah.
Like, it's sick that he told the Joker that he's going to fucking kill him. It's insane. It's so stupid.
And they filmed it, like, in Zack Snyder's pool house or something is my favorite part. And they're like, we're not giving you money to make this. Yeah. And he's like, I don't care. I'm filming it in my backyard.
Yeah, please don't film... Please promise that you won't film any new content for Zack Snyder's Justice League. No, I don't think I will.
No, I don't think I will. And then he cast a random, like, not a big actor to play Green Lantern. And they're like, you better not be bringing Green Lantern into this. He's like, I'm not. And then shot, like, he came down at the end.
Yeah, yeah.
And then, like, fixed it as Marshall. It's just, man, it's absurd. The reason why we're speaking about Zack Snyder is because our worlds collided today. This week in a video of our favorite film analyst, The Real Soups, was at the the Netflix like investor day or whatever, where they're like,
what was it called?
Ta-dum. It's that ta-dum. Sound when you turn on the, it's like ta-dum.
Oh, what, that's what it is. I thought it was a, you know how like Kylie Minogue has that song called Padam Padam. Padam.
Yeah,
it, ta-dum, ta-dum.
It's so stupid. And Soups interviewed Zack and Deborah.
Like, I legitimately thought it was like some like island that I've never heard of, and that's where Netflix were for the
no,
day.
No, it's literally what like, they call Tulum the thing, of the, Mexico. The onomatopoeia, paic sound.
Right. Ta-dum. What? So HBO or if or Max, whatever the fuck, would they just want to call like ha?
Yeah, you're about to see titties and hear swearing.
Buckle up.
Buckle up, buckaroos. Yeah, you're, so we saw Shin Ultraman.
The Weeknd be the worst actor you've ever seen.
Dude, that show was fascinating.
I'm just watching it through clips now.
I watched episode 2 out of like curiosity. That was, I'd seen the clips already, but it's so funny because parts of that show I really like.
The Entourage parts.
It's corny as hell, but I really yeah, like it because it looks good. It's shot beautifully. And then he comes around and then he comes around. But yeah, I watched that one where he was like literally saying like, yeah, open up that tiny little.
Yeah.
Just... And he's just like, what the fuck? And I keep, every time I watch it, I'm like, man, if they had an actual actor in that role, it would be kind of interesting. Like, yeah.
But it just feels like he's like, I want my character to say this now. And also, oh, the character is me.
Oh, totally. Yeah. But I mean, like, if, you know, if there was a different actor, I'm sure there'd be a different script, or at least different dialogue. And there's potential for like an interesting story there about a, because to me, he's not threatening. He's just seedy. Mm. And I think he's supposed to be threatening, but he does not have the like gravitas to pull off threatening.
Like, I keep waiting for one of the other actors to be like, get out of here, The Weeknd.
Seriously, yeah. Because like, I think Lily Rose Depp is really good in it. I believe her, what she's going through. I think like the entourage, her friend.
And like at its core, it's an interesting concept to explore.
Totally.
Especially with like, I love that like one of the Blackpink.
Yeah, Jenny or something.
Yeah, she's in it.
Yeah, is her character called Jenny in it? Or maybe she's
I think
Jenny.
The girl is,
that's right. She's, yeah, and like, that stuff's really interesting. And I still think like the potential cult leader stuff is interesting, but he just can't pull it off. It needs to be like an actor.
Yeah, totally.
Your debut performance should not be... Well, no, his debut performance is playing himself in Uncut Gems, which he's great at because he knows it.
Yeah.
But your debut performance should not be like that demanding. Like, the second lead of a show where you're a cult leader and like you don't have the chops.
Yeah, I don't know. I totally agree with you.
I'm agreeing too.
But Shin Ultraman was the movie we saw, the movie that I tripped balls through. And it's so I've now seen, well, I've seen most of, even though I've seen Shin Godzilla.
You still haven't completed the trilogy.
Yeah, you're right. Shin Godzilla. Shin Ultraman comes next, and then I saw Shin Kamen Rider in Japan. But they just announced that that's coming to
Amazon
Prime
worldwide. Well, 200 countries.
Oh, surely we're one of the 200.
I hope Vin and the Cayman Islands is. I hope they're getting it.
Hope could give Han something to do.
Yeah, I mean, maybe I hope he gets it because then that could spur Han on to be like, I think I want to do a Tokyo Drift sequel.
Was he in one of the Star Wars series we saw? Is he?
He was Inquisitor in Obi-Wan.
Oh, that I sucks. He was, we didn't get to see his face, did we?
Fifth brother, but he'll be back in something.
Okay.
Yeah, he'll be like, these things jump around time, you know.
Put him in Andor.
Hardcore.
Yeah.
Have him play Han Solo. Just don't worry about Alden Ehrenreich. They should have hired him.
Yeah.
That would have been sick. I love Shin Ultraman.
It was amazing. I was so... It's funny going... So Shin Godzilla is the first one. Again,
wait, shout out to the guy who came up to us before the film started and shook our hands.
And said, wow, Angus Truscott and Levins.
That should be how we're greeted.
No, it's Angus Truscott and Levins.
And then, it was like, it's Angus Truscott and Levins. It's like when Skinner sees Ralph's Star Wars figures and he's like, they're all here. I don't know if you listen to the show, but you've set the bar.
Oh, no, he's in our Discord. Yeah.
Oh, awesome. Well, now that you've done a great and a terrible thing. I loved that. But the terrible thing is no one's shaking my hands when I walk into cinemas anymore. I want that kind of like, welcome, sir. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah, sure.
I love
okay.
that. Just that was the best.
The announcement that you've arrived.
That was my favorite part. And the film was also good.
Yeah. But yeah, so Shin Godzilla, directed by Hideaki Anno.
Hideaki Anno,
of Evangelion fame.
He's also a fan. Oh, he hates Evangelion, I think. I've watched
enough to know that he hates it.
Yeah.
Shin Godzilla was like very much like, yeah, like, you know, taking that idea of a classic monster movie, but instead of it being like all about the destruction.
It's like the bureaucracy.
Yeah, how does the government deal with a threat like Godzilla?
And yeah.
It was comical. But
also reminded me a lot of like the way he shoots those scenes. Like we forget, like when you think of Evangelion, you think of like a lot of the striking imagery, like the angels, the Evangelions fighting, semen on a boy's hand. You think of those still shows, but so much of that show is set at like desks and people
absolutely
talking.
Yeah, yeah.
And the script is so good that they're so riveting. Like you're seeing Masato
and the voice performance is so good.
Frustrated at their inability to do things. And Shin Godzilla was like, I remember watching it being like, oh, it's like a whole spin-off movie if we're set inside Nerve with like day-to-day pencil pushers.
Yeah, totally.
Dealing with the angels and the Evangelion destruction.
And it had some funny moments in it, but for the most part, like it was, you know, it felt like an Anno movie.
Yeah.
This is directed by...
It was weird as well with like, you know, he leant heavily into let's really alienify Godzilla.
Yeah, he
like,
looks fucked up. Moves around, it's the
he's
best.
Like a snake thing and he's like got these huge eyes that haven't developed like lids yet. And then by the end of it, he's like this giant terrifying. He looks like scarier. It was the first time Godzilla's like looked truly scary. Besides Roland Emmerich's Godzilla.
So yeah, even though Shin Ultraman came out a couple of years after that, a few years ago.
We only just got it.
I watched Shin Kamen Rider.
Yeah.
It's like the next, you know,
that was
Shin
out
movie
in
that I saw when I was in Japan. And
were you familiar with the Kamen Rider lore? Or?
Yeah, I mean, I've seen... Shout out to Chloe Cade from our Discord who reposts Kamen Rider clips on their Twitter.
I've seen, like, clips,
constantly,
yeah.
And, like, just through what they share, I'm like, I have a pretty good concept of what this is about.
It's, like, special belts.
And I've watched some of the opening theme songs because they go real hard.
And, I mean, from what I understand, there's, like, a villain group. I forget their name.
Yeah,
like,
I did know
acronym, maybe.
Yeah. I have one of their masks.
And they kind of, like, take people and, like, they're, like, bionic. Like, they do experiments.
Exactly.
And Kamen Rider's, like, an escaped one.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, you get the general gist of it.
Oh, totally, yeah.
None of that government scene stuff is in it.
I've seen one clip and it's just like insanely violent action and
it's
rules.
So good.
And shot like, at like daytime in a forest.
Yeah.
Like this is sick.
And
the
so
sound effects are crazy.
And like, but there's also just like baffling plot points in it and like big twists and sudden deaths of people that you thought were main characters.
It's such a cool, like, it kind of reminds me of like I guess Tarantino's choices in filmmaking, where he's just like, we have this guy who created something that's like so beloved, so wholly original, almost also an albatross around his neck. Like he's kind of like haunted by Evangelion, but he's making these films that are not inspired by, like these remind me if George Lucas had the rights to Flash Gordon.
Yeah, this is him.
You know how he wanted the rights
and
couldn't get them?
Yeah, and like,
so he made Star Wars.
There's student films of him
As Ultraman,
Ultraman,
yeah,
doing Kamen Rider shit when he was younger.
It's just so cool to see a guy who could probably get budget for any original idea he had now being like one of the most celebrated animated directors and like just a cult of personality as well. But he's doing like these kind of hokey but deconstructed
versions
of
things. But with so much love.
Things.
You can tell you there's so much a big part of him that he's got to do them right by what his idea of the series is.
And I guess it doesn't like translate 100% to us, but I suppose it's like when you see a director you love doing like a great adaptation of a comic or something.
Yeah,
you know
totally.
What I mean?
Yeah,
like
yeah.
It's like, it must feel so good there. Cause when I was, the last time I was in Japan, JR, the national like railway thing, it was a big Ultraman. I think it was like Ultraman's 50th or 60th birthday. And you could get like custom stamps at every station. And my dad oh, this wasn't the last time I went, like 2 times ago. He got hooked on it, and we had to like stamp his Ultraman book everywhere we went. He had to like find it. And it's just like, they're ubiquitous there.
Japan has something for everyone's autism.
100%. But yeah, these characters are so ubiquitous there. Like, they are there, you know, they're like Superman. And
yeah, I mean, I would almost say that like...
Ultraman is kind of Superman, an alien who comes down.
I would say like that those kind of characters almost belong to the world as opposed to America. So I would say that like this Kamen Rider is more like if someone made a Rocketeer movie now. Or something,
yeah.
Like these like American pulp characters. Sure.
But also like, I guess they are like inherently American in their like...
Truth, justice,
creation,
the American way,
and yeah. It's just like, I guess the fact they have spread across the world is just because Western culture has like dominated our country, you know
yeah,
what I mean?
Yeah,
whereas like Ultraman, I know there's like big legal battles where like other countries were making it, and like something to do with the naming rights. I think
really?
It was like maybe the Philippines
what
or
they
somewhere.
Call it? Ultraman.
Yeah, they call them something else in different countries because I think it was one of
no, those. But that's like the Japanese don't say ultra.
It's, well, no, yeah, fuck. But he was kind of like Superman. He's an alien. Who's learning about humans by defending them.
Yeah, definitely. And like, so this movie is very much like, it feels like a sequel to Shin Godzilla.
This is by
Shin
a different
Godzilla.
Director. This is not, though.
It was the producer of Shin Godzilla.
The producer who, yeah. went, the last time I was in Japan, I went to this like whiskey bar that was right near my Airbnb, and it was like the size of your bathroom. And there's just like signed Anno stuff,
I mean,
behind
no
the
one
counter.
Listening knows how big my bathroom is.
No, but you can take
gigantic.
A guess. Yeah, it's like...
50 toilets.
It's like the kid in a... with Francis's bath in Pee-wee's
Big
Adventure.
Yeah, that's awesome.
I think about that movie so often.
I love that movie.
It's the best movie.
When he has the gum that makes the like,
and all the ink starts coming down.
Yeah, good.
The
Francis.
The
yes, the knocking hand. So fucking good.
Danny Elfman's best score too.
Yeah, I totally agree with you.
It's so good. Oh man, I love that movie. I might do a rewatch this weekend.
I think the kids would like it.
Oh man, I was obsessed with it.
Yeah,
from when I was
me
like
too.
Three
it was
onwards.
The movie I watched the most when I was
we pirated it, and I just watched it constantly. I liked it way more than Big Top Pee-wee.
Oh, Big Top Pee-wee sucks.
Yeah, it's not the same filmmakers. That's like a bizarre sequel. Though I do appreciate what they did, where they just took like they almost like Elvis-fied Pee-wee, where like they took the real person Elvis and had him play different characters in every movie.
Yep.
They just kind of like, yeah, Pee-wee's now living in a country town and like, you know what I mean? I kind of really appreciate that.
But yeah, Ultraman really felt like, Shin Ultraman that is, felt like...
Shin stands for new.
Doing the, like, doing a kind of like a more comedic version of the government bureaucracy side of Shin Godzilla.
There was a lot of like sitting at desks, a lot of that. But so, it also really was far more kaiju-y than I actually anticipated.
Yeah, no, for sure. But yeah, whereas Shin Kamen Rider is pretty much purely just a monster action movie without any of the government shit, which was surprising. Feels like a big kind of change.
And also, Anno did write, produce. He did a lot on Ultraman and actually motion captured a lot of Ultraman.
Okay.
For those scenes where he's big and fighting, that's like Anno.
Okay, sweet.
Yeah, which is sick. And I think like, yeah... The it was like three big episodes. It reminded me of because there was like three monsters of the week.
Yeah, totally.
And they're like really funny. They're just like dudes who would sit with him and chat. Like it was really. I thought it was really.
The
funny.
Ending rocked too.
What's the ending again?
Just the way he goes out, and why his decision to, and like it's good.
Yeah.
Good shit.
No, I loved it. It was a great film.
So hopefully there's more opportunity for people to see that again. Is there even?
I'm
like
sure it's going to come to Amazon, right? If I guarantee you they'll do Kamen Rider and that.
Oh, yeah, if they've got Evangelion as well, but Shin Godzilla isn't there, is it?
I think Mad Men have the rights here. It could be in another country. I have like the digital 4K of it. I still like Shin Godzilla. Out of the two I've seen, I like Shin Godzilla more. I think that's just because I like Godzilla is like such a character. I knew about it. I'd seen Japanese films, anime, and a Western film. So it was cool to see that version.
Mm-hmm.
But Ultraman was sick. He's such a bizarre design.
Yeah, totally.
Just like kind of like a fish looking dude.
The bridge of his nose, yeah.
The weird like lip hanging out.
Yeah.
Bizarre. And like isn't quite metal. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah. I think Shin Kamen, right? I mean, it's funny. Like both movies were hindered somewhat. Like one by the fact I couldn't speak Japanese and there were no subtitles.
The
other one that I just...
You saw the Flash that day.
Yeah. The Flash. I was in the Speed Force.
Yeah.
But I think I would put... I think I would go, yeah, Shin Godzilla, then Shin Kamen Rider, then Shin Ultraman.
I am so excited for Kamen Rider. Yeah. I love the look of the character.
Wait till you see some of the enemies that show
Sick.
Up in this. It's so great.
I've seen a spider one. has like legs coming out like webbing.
The bat is so demented. Like I almost spent way too much money trying to win a figure of it in Ichibankuji. But
there
is
an amazing SH figure arts of the Shin Kamen Rider.
Cool.
That I'm like, if I had a infinite sum of money, I'd cop.
Yeah. It's a great, such an incredible design. So we thought we would be doing Indiana Jones this week.
Oh yeah, I got my wires crossed. Or should I say my whips crossed?
Well, I just feel like there's a bunch of things coming out. Is it out in America this week or no? It's just out worldwide next week.
I assumed when Sydney Film Festival did like the closing night film of it on the Sunday, I was like, oh, it must be coming out this week.
Yeah, totally.
But no, it was like a 2-week lead or something.
And then you saw Asteroid City during Sydney Film Festival too, and that isn't coming out here until like August.
September or something? Yeah.
Which is stupid as hell. Like, why? Who's doing that?
Went to town on a film festival, right? You were like telling me how much you hate film festivals.
I don't, there's something about how big Sydney Film Festival is now, where it's like 13 different venues showing movies.
Mm.
And just like an ungodly amount of different movies. I think it's awesome that there's so many opportunities to see movies that would be like, you know, impossible to watch.
Yeah.
But I feel like I wish that they would divvy it up into like smaller film festivals that had different names, like that. So it just felt a bit more conquerable. I don't know.
I think the good part is like you are like, fuck, I don't know what I'm going to say. Like, there's such a gamble.
Yeah,
it took me like 2 hours to plan my 2 weeks.
Yeah,
like,
and that rules. I'm glad that, you know, it's almost like a holiday for you.
I saw like, maybe 16, 17 or so.
Yeah, I have children, so I saw one.
Yeah.
But
you slept through it. Like me with Secret Invasion, and I have no kids.
Yeah, true. I also love that both of us watched most of Secret Invasion while doing a shit, which is great Hey Fam lore.
The shit edit.
Shit invasion.
Turns out our shit wasn't the stinkiest thing in the room while that was playing.
God damn it. We'll get to that. That sucks. Yeah. Thankfully, we're also going to talk about something that I'm incredibly positive about, and that's
Righteous Gemstones.
That too, and also Mario Wonder.
Well, just talk about the Nintendo Direct.
In general, yeah.
Yeah.
But obviously, Indie is next week.
Yeah, so I watched... I told you, I watched 4 Indiana Jones movies in one day, including The Dial of Destiny.
So you
woke up at 8 and just hit play on Raiders.
So you watched everything but Temple, right?
Yeah, just because it was it's so standalone, and I crunched the numbers. I made, you know, lunch. I was like, I don't think I have time to watch all of them, so I had to sacrifice Temple that day, which...
Are you sitting on the couch for the entirety of that, or are you... you know, walking around doing a few errands while the movie's on during the familiar parts.
I pause when I do that.
Okay, right.
Yeah, I watch a
movie. Out of respect. Yeah,
of course I do. I'm not a like a Neanderthal, which is why I knew I couldn't fit all 4 in, because I was like, I'm going to clean the house, I'm going to do this. So I watched Temple afterwards. So I watched 5 in 2 days, which is pretty crazy.
Oh, so you have watched Temple since? That's
I watched it the following day after Dial of Destiny.
It's a lot of indie.
It's a lot of indie. I feel like I'm through osmosis, if you're a Star Wars mega fan, you kind of are through osmosis an Indiana Jones fan, just because of the constant parallels, the production timelines, the Harrison Fordness, the George Lucasness of it. Yeah, so it was really good watching them all, but I went for the white evil people as villains, Machete Order, as I'm calling it, which gets rid of Temple of Doom because they're Indian villains. They're the only brown villains.
Movie's crazy as shit.
Dude, it's insane.
Yeah, I feel like everyone talks about the melting faces in Raiders, but for me, it's like, it's all the insane violence and being exposed to that when I saw it when I was like 8.
Child slaves.
What is this movie?
It's so dark. And like, you know.
And it was PG.
It was PG-13. It's the first movie.
But here it was.
Yeah, it's the first movie to get PG. They invented PG-13 for it.
Crazy.
Spielberg like pushed for it. He's like, there needs to be another rating. And the movie's so dark because George Lucas was going through a divorce. And like, that's the rumor. Yeah, it's like channeled, like the heart getting ripped out. Literally. Right. Yeah, he was going through a really bitter divorce that he was not the instigator of. And it's such a bizarre movie. I mean, it's kind of the only one that doesn't... The other ones all have like certain DNA things shared in their DNA. I mean, Last Crusade is kind of standalone-y too, but it has Salah's in it. John Rhys-Davies is everyone's favorite brown face. He's in the new one too.
Oh, is he?
Yeah.
And are they, like, what do they talk say about his background?
Oh, he's a cab driver in New York City, which is, I don't know.
Is he afraid of no ghosts?
No, he ain't afraid of no ghosts. Okay. Yeah, it's... Temple is just such a standalone.
Yeah, absolutely.
And at least, you know, with Kingdom of Crystal Skull, you have Marion in it, who's the love interest from the first one, and you find out is the mother of his child, Mutt Williams. But yeah, I won't talk about it yet because it's not out yet. But you do find out, I will say this, you do find out Mutt Williams' whereabouts.
Oh, great.
Yeah.
Awesome.
And let's just say, if you're a fan of how they deal with Shia LaBeouf's absence in the Transformers movies, then you're going to love the way they do it in Dial of Destiny. It is basically the same.
That's great.
Yeah.
Did you enjoy it overall?
Yeah, but the biggest problem I had, and I think I told you this, was the sound. So it's at the State Theatre, which if you live in Sydney or even Australia, it's like this beautiful ornate.
Yeah, but it's not a good place to watch a movie.
It's a terrible place to watch a movie.
Watch a band
or a play. It's pretty good to watch, like, I guess, a subtitled film or like a quiet documentary, but not a film that has like John Williams score blaring, sound effects, quite a lot of like, not so much, but still like important exposition is delivered.
That's
sometimes.
What I mean. Like, if Sydney Film Festival just took over one thing of cinemas. Or maybe even two.
You know, it's like the closing night, so they had to do... But I know people who left because they're like, I want to go see this at a multiplex.
Right.
The sound was so bad. My dad was like... I took my dad and he was like, is it just me? Or is it? And I'm like, no, I don't know what they're saying for half of this movie. So I think I really liked a lot of it, but I did find... I was frustrated the whole time. And there was these really annoying... I'd say... I kept doing a lot of turning around and glaring because these two super annoying guys sat behind me who thought it would be like if you and I were recording a podcast in a movie. Like they were just quipping the whole time and they were just like, they looked like the type of dudes who like told Brie Larson to kill herself. They're just like neck beardy dudes. And every time one of them like brought, like drank alcohol, one of them would be like, yeah. Like on screen, if someone popped a bottle, it was really weird. It was super obnoxious. And they were just like cracking jokes the whole time, getting beers every few minutes.
Like that's an expensive ticket to get.
Like, yeah, it's like $50 or something to go see this at the, it was so off putting. One kept going like this, like that. Yeah. Every time someone popped open it was so weird. And everyone just kept looking at him. And they were like our age. It was so obnoxious.
That's bizarre.
It was really off-putting. The sound mix was bad.
Well, so what I didn't like about Shin Ultraman was that like we got there early. Because, you know, even
they don't have trailers. They don't have just kind of do a hard start.
EB Games is definitely closed. No Wario games. Although a new one was announced. New WarioWare game coming
out. That's right.
And thankfully it comes out a little bit after Mission Impossible 7.
Tom Cruise won't have to kill you.
The amount of people that just walked in late to that showing was fucking... I was just like, man, like it's meant to be like this, you know, big celebration of film, cinephiles only. Get to the fucking showing on time.
Honestly, yeah.
Like I don't respect movies when I go see them at 10 a.m. in the morning and they're like dumbass Hollywood shit.
No.
Obviously, I should have respected Mission Impossible 4, 5, or 6 more than I did.
Yeah,
but
I find that still quite offensive.
But my love for Wario outshines my love for Tom Cruise.
Yes, a game that, you know, you could have bought after the screening.
It's also like one of the most important pieces of HeyFam lore.
It's what separates you and I.
Yeah.
It's both of our autism on display. My insistence of like just like pure silence, like Lenny getting the awards read out while watching a movie. I'm like locked in staring and you being like, I've got to buy this Wario game that absolutely no one else in Parramatta is buying this month.
No, totally.
But I have to get
it. It's on the other side of the shopping center, though. I wanted to get it over and done with, you know?
Absurd behavior. A game that you could, like... At that point, that movie was only available in cinemas, but a game you could have bought from, like, any country in the world, any shop in the in Sydney that sells video games.
And it's a compilation of the old games.
And so, like, you don't even play it.
No, I played the shit out of it. Are you kidding me?
But you don't even play it now. Like,
well, you don't watch Mission Impossible Fallout now.
I do. I'm literally up to it. I've watched 1 to 5 this fortnight. So I'm interviewing them next week.
Them?
The cast.
Which
director.
How many of the cast?
I don't know. I'm not saying Tom Cruise yet because I haven't been locked in.
Okay, man, if you interview Tom Cruise, that's fucking crazy.
That's HeyFam lore.
I mean, slightly outside of HeyFam lore, the third mic of HeyFam Noon, but don't ever let him hear this.
He's listening.
He met Baz Luhrmann.
Oh, this is an amazing story. Did he tell you about
it? No, I had dinner with him last night. I forgot to talk about it.
No, it's a great story. He was like, he messaged me and was surprised I didn't show up 2 minutes later. They're at a hotel lobby, like Ace Hotel in Sydney.
Yep.
And I won't go to the full story. I'll let Noon tell it. But the best bit was Baz insisted on taking the photo. He said, "I'm the director. Let me frame it." Which I'm like, that is so fucking sick.
That makes me love him so much.
I love Baz. Yeah. And just hearing that, he's just like, of course you can get a photo. He was like really friendly.
You can send letters in Australia using a Baz Luhrmann stamp.
I have a book of Baz Luhrmann stamps on my fridge.
They only make like a collectible kind of like wallet for the stamps. Yeah. I'll look into it. Yeah. We should own that.
I want only mail delivered by Baz stamps.
Yeah.
It's the only mail I'm posting.
Fuck, I got
it. It'd be funny if the world, like, you know, Australia, I mean, it's already happening, but like we go into like a recession and like nothing's...
The only thing
worth that's like 50 cents still is like the Baz Luhrmann stamps. And you're like, I'm the richest guy in the world because I have a book of Baz Luhrmann stamps that are like equate that value.
I got a delivery just before we hit record of some Sonic the Hedgehog cupcakes to celebrate Sonic Day, okay, yeah. His birthday today. Do you want one?
I'll have half of one if you want half.
Yeah, so I left half because that's okay. All I could do. They were very sweet.
Yeah, I don't want a full one.
We'll have one between hay and pay.
And now, a word from our really, really great sponsors. Trust me, I know a lot about good deals, folks, and this is a great deal.
But hey. Do you want to do direct talk first or Gemstones or Secret Invasion?
Let's do Secret Invasion.
Get the shit out of the way. All right, we have a long storied history with trying to enjoy the Marvel TV stuff.
Yeah, and I think, like, you know, we're not breaking any new ground when we say some of it's been pretty good and a lot of it's been terrible. And it's such a very interesting, like, the development of the streaming. I mean, I think, like, this is almost, like, this is hyperbolic, but it's the fast rate of adaptation of, like, direct-to-streaming shows but shot under like a traditional film production as opposed to like a TV structure. It's like a huge transition, which we're still in such the early days of, that is like silent film switching to talkies, I think. Like these things are not TV, I think, and they're not movies. And they don't really know what they are. And that seems to be a huge problem.
But they are hiring TV people now. Like the showrunner from Mr. Robot was the showrunner on Secret Invasion.
Right.
But this thing had like no flow.
There's no source. There's absolutely zero source.
Zero juice, free.
I thought it looked like it looked so banal. It had zero flair. Also, like, it's been 5 or 6 years since we as an audience. I know, like, there was a pandemic, but like, since we've seen like Nick Fury, like, I'm like, what does he do now?
For me, it was like the biggest failure that the show has is that, yeah, it failed to introduce any character properly.
Yeah. Like I even wanted a Maria Hill reintroduction, not for me, but just like, so people know who she is. The last time we saw her, I think, was like fucking Winter Soldier, which is like 9 years old.
No, she gets turned to dust at the end of, Endgame too. Oh no, whatever.
Infinity War. But that's it. She's like riding shotgun.
Yeah, totally. And then she is, the Skrull form of her is in No Way Home, as is Fury. Whom are they both?
Far From Home.
Far From...
Yeah.
What did I say?
No Way Home. But it's like Ben Mendelsohn, isn't it?
Yeah, and his wife are pretending to be...
That whole thing, like, if the payoff for all of that is this show's existence, it's so weird. Like, this whole Saber thing, like, I'm like, what is going on?
Yeah, totally.
Like,
I want to explore
honestly,
that. Why don't we get a fucking Nick Fury honestly in think space they, show? Why send him to space if it's just this like period of time that we're never going to see?
I think getting rid of S.H.I.E.L.D. is like a huge problem. That I did like the plot fake out that there was like, oh, S.H.I.E.L.D.'s actually been Hydra. But then I think by the end of the next movie, they're like, cool, S.H.I.E.L.D.'s back to normal now. I think getting rid of S.H.I.E.L.D. is cool because now they replaced it with S.W.O.R.D., which is the same thing
as
S.H.I.E.L.D.
I know.
And it's only existed in like WandaVision. So it's really confusing.
Then there's Saber.
And now there's
as well.
Saber, which we don't know anything about. But it's like they should. I think honestly, getting rid of S.H.I.E.L.D. completely was kind of a disservice because now you're like, well, who does Maria?
Well,
Hill
I mean,
work
imagine
for?
Being the fucking showrunner of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., which is you know tied into, and then finding out.
oh, by the way, your thing's a ruse. And yeah, then they had to lie.
But then it turns out to be like an amazing move that I think, like, watching this Secret Invasion show, I was like, fuck, I miss Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
It freed it, right, of being,
that
like,
show was
tired.
Like hammy as shit, but it was so fun. This Secret Invasion was absolutely devoid of
fun. What did they do
in
the end? They were like, oh, it's a different universe or something?
Like, I don't know what the explanation was, but yeah, it was like they keep it semi-separate.
Yeah.
But like,
it was freed from the shackles of like...
That show had fun until the end. It did so many weird, cool premises. Whereas this, like, for me, like...
It was so dour.
So dour. And also it's like, okay, it's about alien shows aliens pretending to be humans.
That's cool. That's a cool thing. That like preys on like 50s films about like paranoia. You know, like,
why aren't we in New York where there can be so many opportunities to show people that we know that, oh, actually turns out they're Skrulls.
We're in Moscow.
Why are we in Russia? Why do these guys love Russian terrorists so much?
It's so funny. And why is every villain in these TV shows like someone who starts like a cult of people?
Yeah.
We saw it in Falcon Winter Soldier. It just felt
too similar to Falcon Winter, and exactly both of those.
It's the same thing. They have these like communities and they're like, don't worry, we're all good.
Like, it's like, you know, you have like more villains than you do heroes to pull from in the lore of like, you know, Marvel superheroes. Like, why are we doing this?
What's
the point of just having these like weird... It was just like I said, devoid of fun. And it's like, when you read a comic book, even if it's bad, it's still fun.
It's fun. They're and colorful. Punchy. It's and 20 like, pages.
Exactly.
You're done.
And it's just like so just drawn out minutes. And slow. And it just, it's my biggest problem with comic book adaptations. They take themselves so seriously.
This should be so fun. That like, there should have been like that opening Skrull reveal. It should have been something funny. It should have been like fucking Conan O'Brien is a Skrull. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
like,
totally. Yeah.
A Tonight Show host turn. And it's something like that. Like, I don't need to see like one of the faceless agents of this universe who's
Agent
like,
Ross.
Yeah.
He's our favorite MCU character.
He's my favorite Red Hot Chili Peppers fan. Yeah, but you know what I mean? Like, it just like meant nothing.
Yeah, no. I know. Well, I mean, what meant nothing was that the confusing pace of it was they go from... So the person who shoots Agent Ross turns out to be Mendo's, whatever his Skrull name is.
Talos.
Ben Mendelsohn, Talos.
Look, it's always really good to see Ben Mendelsohn.
Man, I felt his pain when he was trying to deliver some of the fucking exposition he had to in this
He was
show.
Doing the best acting in the show, though.
Yeah, no, definitely.
He was the only one that showed, like, remorse or sadness for past things, where Sam Jackson's just quipping the whole time.
But he shoots this Agent Ross, who then turns out to be a Skrull, and then... immediately after they're like, oh, sorry to hear about your wife. And I was like, oh, was that his wife that was posing as Agent
Ross?
She just died off screen in like who knows how long ago.
I for all those things, I'm like, I'll wait till it's done because I reckon no one's dead. I reckon there's just going to be this like triple, quadruple crossing.
Which is so boring. Like,
yeah, I think that's what's going to be. She's probably alive. She's probably Maria Hill or something.
Yeah, well, she's dead too now.
Well, yeah.
The dead woman trilogy phase. Yeah, what kills Talos' wife and Maria Hill.
I don't think
Hill.
Anyone's dead. I think it's the whole thing with this show.
Yeah, I don't know.
I will turn reserve into a Skrull at the end. It's like done. Yeah, but
are they going to do IMDs? Maybe like the something decoy.
I have no idea, but I just
that,
like
actually best phase of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. was when they do that.
He was one
life
right?
LMD like life something.
Yeah,
decoy.
Life model decoy.
It was such a like that for me. That was like as fun as reading a comic.
Oh, that's so good. I can take off my sunglasses now. The sun went down.
Angus has been wearing sunglasses for 47 minutes.
Yeah, I don't know, man. Like
it feels like we're like recording a podcast that only exists in like 30-second chunks on TikTok.
Yeah.
And we're talking about like why women shouldn't be allowed to vote.
Yeah, exactly. Or why you nailed it. Yeah. But the sun's coming back out again. Great. Putting the shades back on.
And another thing.
just like this show even came out with no fanfare.
Oh, it was suddenly out. I was like,
you
oh,
were
shit,
like Secret Invasion's out. I'm like, what? Yeah. Like normally I'm seeing like huge thing. I don't know.
I reckon people are fucking aware of the fatigue.
Like, of course
I just like
we might have been
I feel
like
Iger's come back and just been like everything Chapek did is fucked.
Yeah.
Let's just let these things go out and drown. Unfortunately, including Elemental. But apparently, like, yeah, like the difference between like Elemental's done, I think, 60 million box office but it cost 200 million
to
make.
It costs so much money.
It does not need to cost that much to make. I mean, I understand that they like pushing the technology as far forward as possible with these movies.
They have to pay people to animate.
And they, you know, all their studios are in California and so like that comes at a much higher price.
The
cost
taxes
point than,
are crazy.
Yeah. But like, I don't know, like the fact that there's only like, you know, $60 million difference between how much The Flash cost and how much Elemental cost. And you look at the cast in that. Pixar need to figure out a way to make their movies be cheaper, or else they won't be allowed to release original content anymore.
Honestly, yeah. This just feels dour. It feels very far away from those first, like, great, and I think they're great, 5 or 6 episodes of WandaVision. It feels like worlds away from that.
Yeah, because Noon was saying last night we were having dinner, he loved it. And he was like, but, let it cook. The first episode's never good. And I was like, the first episode's generally the best episode of the series.
Also, a first episode should be good.
Like, the first episode of WandaVision is easy the best.
It's the best thing of television Marvel's done.
And then even Falcon Winter Soldier, it's like, oh, cool, it's setting shit up, you see Bucky. And it's just nice hanging out with these characters again.
The first episode of WandaVision is the best bit of content Marvel's done.
Yeah, I would agree with you, for sure.
On television by far. Just that weird black and white. You had no idea what was going on. There was no hand holding.
And for me, it was like, okay, I fucking hated that first episode of Moon Knight, but I've still stuck it through. And I was like, why did I do that? And not feel good after watching all of it. The moment I feel like this again about another one of these things, I'm just going to tap out. And I cannot believe the show with Sam Jackson, Ben Mendelsohn, fucking
Martin Freeman, Kobe Smulders,
Olivia Colman,
Emilia Clarke,
genuine actors, actual actors that I love in other things. This is where I'm like, I'm out. I don't want to watch another second of this show.
Yeah, it's one of the worst first episodes of anything I've seen.
It was so boring.
It was dull. It was just people walking.
I stopped watching midway through and rewatched the I Think You Should Leave season 3 sketch.
Much better with
the Turnstile song.
Much better.
I listen to that song so many fucking times.
It's so funny seeing the Skrull transformations. I mean, they try to go for the Spielbergian. Something walks in front and then they're there. But it's just like, you can tell they ain't paying that shit to see someone transform.
There
was that scene where the guy took his hat off, and when he did, he had his head down, transformed, looked up, then put his head down. And it was like, that was really funny how low they went with it.
Yeah, I like
every transformation was off screen. You just saw someone reacting going...
There are a few moments where I was like, oh, yeah, that's interesting. I liked the final scene. It's filmed clearly in a big crowd, and it was great to see a Marvel thing that isn't shitty green screen. And I liked the effects of you're following a Skrull who's changing.
Yeah.
Who's changing what they look like every
I like that too, 5 seconds. Every
but also, steps. Why didn't fucking Fury just shoot it? It had so many opportunities to.
Yeah, I'm sure we'll find out something, because everyone, did you notice 5 people were like, you're different, Nick Fury. Is it that he's a Skrull?
I don't know. I hope he loses his other eye in this series. That's the only thing that would get me to if he just has, he's just two fully eye patches. Blind.
No, if he just wears 2 eye patches.
Oh, that's great. Sunglasses.
He looks like me.
Yeah.
Like Ray Charles. That'd be sick. Stevie Wonder stuff.
Yeah.
But he, everyone keeps going you're really different.
Something changed after the blip. Thanos has changed. It was so weird hearing Olivia Colman say Thanos. Yeah,
it is pretty weird. She was great, but I have no idea who she is in it.
Exactly. They did such a bad job of explaining who she is.
I was like, does she work for a...
Noon said apparently they say MI6 during her scene. So he was like, oh, she's from MI6. I missed that completely.
I thought that she was an ambassador maybe, because her house was so luxurious. I was like, is she an ambassador for England and Russia?
She just loves clocks.
Yeah, she's like, guys in the circus put one up. I was like, okay. Isn't that what she said?
Yeah.
I was like, whatever, dude. And then he's like, this is a nice chair. Oh, no, that was somewhere else.
We are genuinely pivoting towards a HeyFam without superheroes, which is pretty exciting.
It's great. It's exciting. It's just so much better content.
I have no fucking interest in this now.
It's very interesting, though, that, I think what's happened to the DCEU in 10 years, it's what's going to happen. It's a microcosm of the bigger picture with all these genre films. Did you see today... The gross was out for all of the DCEU films. So the highest grossing of them all was domestic. So this is box office opening, sorry.
Yep.
Batman vs. Superman was the highest one at $166 million, which is pretty big. And we have The Flash. So they've had how many films? 13. We have The Flash as the bottom third, which is insane. And so the top three are all films that came out, the first three films.
Yeah.
Man of Steel, BVS, Suicide Squad. The lowest three, I mean, I'm not really counting the Suicide Squad or Wonder Woman 84 because they were done during pandemic.
That's pandemic movies.
But the lowest, The Flash is just 1 million more than Shazam was, which was a sleeper hit.
Yeah, totally. But also that was not, they weren't putting anywhere near as much marketing budget into Shazam.
No, I'm still baffled by how much money they probably spent on this movie that we don't know about. the stuff they would have had to pay for Ezra, the stuff that, like, this will be studied as, like, why did you release this film? And it's shown that, like, first of all, like you said, audiences are fatigued. Audiences have zero investment in a film that we've been told by the studio that doesn't matter in the scheme of things to come. And people don't like Ezra Miller. Like, people will not see a film who stars somebody who has been, like, in the press for 2 years for, like, so many things.
I know that there's a comedy that everyone keeps telling me to watch, you included. The Ken Marino's in it. It's
The other two.
It's
great.
And is that about a studio or is it about an actor?
So it's about a Matty B Raps style of kid, and it's about, like, him getting big. It's the first season's about him, and he's like this teenager who, his name's Chase Dreams, and he gets big. God, and Molly Shannon's his mother,
right,
who's like a momager, and Ken Marino's his manager. He's like a guy who manages TikTok kids.
Yep.
And it's about this sister and brother who are older than the kid, who both want to work in the industry but, like, not famous, but a famous by osmosis through him later. They're like, oh, you're Chase Dreams' big brother. Cool. And they start, like, getting in the industry and getting roles and stuff.
But I reckon
it's very funny. It's like, it's very 30 Rock in the sense of way it, like, uses actors and
right,
real world
yeah,
things.
Sure. Yeah. So I reckon we are very, very close to getting a Succession style drama that follows a film studio and takes a lot of influence from the Warner Brothers merger, the fuck up of the DCEU. Like, I reckon that we could be such a good pedigree.
It'd be incredible.
TV show.
I mean, I've always said, like, we should make a book or a doco about it. Like, but a show would be.
How are we
going
to get access to it? Or we just
show would be funny.
We'll get people to reenact it.
Yeah, it's so insane. I don't really understand the breadth of what is going on there, in all honesty. But I just read this morning that, like, Spielberg, Paul Thomas Anderson, and Scorsese, like, made an impassioned phone call to
Zaslav
about, like, saving
TCM,
like the classic movies channel.
Yeah.
Just because they were like, are we getting rid of everything that isn't a reality show? It's absurd. And I mean, you know, it ties into, like,
was there any follow up from that, or we don't know?
Apparently they said it went well, and they're like, he really likes old movies. It's okay. I don't really know what's going on, but it just sounds like
sucks.
A disaster.
I hope,
like,
he gets Weinstein so fast.
Remember how funny it was? I was thinking on the way over that day, and there were two different days, but it was like the day that they announced everything that was going to be on HBO Max and everything that was going to be on Disney Plus. And now just, like, half of those things don't exist.
Yeah,
a lot
bonkers.
Of them weren't made. They were just like, we're making a Rocketeer series, but she's black now. And everyone's like, yeah, I love the Rocketeer. And then, like, the first taste we got of, like, the National Treasure series, which only resembled the film that people liked by name. Everyone was like, oh yeah, we don't, like, logos aren't cool. Like, we don't care like, logos. Like, we just want good content.
So
it was such a weird era.
Yeah, Archie just finished the Mysterious Benedict Society books and was, like, really keen to watch the TV show. They made two seasons of it. Tony Hale's the lead character.
Oh, yeah.
It's gone. They got rid of it.
Yeah, they got rid of Willow, the Lucasfilm series.
It's fucking bonkers.
Yeah.
It's
for tax reasons
it's
or something?
It's so gross.
Why did they get rid of it?
Yeah, because if you just straight up be like, it's a loss, it will never generate any more money, then you can actually claim it as a loss and you get tax breaks because
it's
of
insane.
It. Yeah.
Hard copies. Everyone get hard copies of things.
I'm about to get hard copies of us talking about Righteous Gemstones and,
hell yeah,
and
brother.
Mario Wonder. I'm definitely never watching another episode of Secret Invasion, and if I do, it's a cry for help.
It's a Skrull.
I'm a Skrull, only a Skrull 11s will watch another episode of that shit.
I honestly am like, yeah, I don't think, and the funny thing is, like, I don't think anyone cares about this. I've not seen, like, a rave review on it.
Well, everyone's just so angry about the AI intro, which
oh,
I
that's
agree
at least
is totally
my problem.
Exactly, but the rest of the show
I was like,
is far
stop,
worse.
That was just clickbait stuff. Like, yes, the implications of that are potentially
yeah,
damaging.
Like Disney has
however,
the money
though, like, it was made by, like, a design studio and, like, people created it. Like, there's credits for who did the opening
yeah,
sequences.
But I think, you know, the software that creates those AI images still does so by pulling from other images.
Absolutely.
Other
people have created. Implications are, like, scary and it sucks, but I'm like, guys, that's the least of everyone's problems. Like, let's
like, look what they can achieve without AI.
It's
so
worse.
Much worse.
I'd rather AI do the show.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But we're going to talk about a surprisingly great Nintendo Direct and an obviously great intro, the first two episodes of The Righteous Gemstones, which is a show that I feel like not enough people watch. It's such a fucking awesome HBO show / comedy / sitcom.
Danny McBride just consistently proving
on
he is
fire.
The best, like, comedic talent of the generation, I think.
Yeah. So come on over to
the rare one who is in front of and behind of camera.
And famously met your dad.
Famously met my dad.
So head over to patreon.com/heyfam. Come hear an episode of Hey Fam, which you can get for just $5 a month. It gets you a bonus episode of Hey Fam every single week. And also access to our Discord community where you can complain about the things that we complain about or love the things that we love. Only those options. Only the same opinions. Nothing else. Over at patreon.com/heyfam. $5 a month. There's no better way to spend your money.
I love you all.